better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
877-377-6963 is the number to call or text into the Cherokee Casino hotline. Let's keep the phone calls going as we have Lisa, who's in Northeast Arkansas. Good morning, Miss Lisa.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. And I want to speak on something that Eddie pointed out. That is what I'm going to do. I'm not even mad today because I am so sick and so apathetic about the program. That anybody with any sense at all knows there has to be a change made. Okay, Eddie got on the point of the administration, the board of directors. I Googled, of course, I knew some of them, but I Googled them. It's open knowledge for anyone that wants to do it. The one in our area in Northeast Arkansas is Steve Cox, a former football player for the University of Arkansas, and a fine one at that, that went on to play, I think, for the Washington Redskins. Good guy. Here's the problem we've got, so I'm hearing, and I know we're all hearing everything. I'm hearing the board, you know, some say fire him, some say keep him because of the money. And therein lies your problem, is this board of trustees. So people that care about the program, they don't need to call and cuss them out, ball them out. They need to be, you know, settled down before they call them. It's hard when you love sports. And, you know, some of these people don't know a football from a basketball. And some of them don't, guys. Let's face it. They don't. And not only do they not know it, they don't give a flying, you know what. You thought I was going to say it, didn't you?
Yeah, no, we know better.
Had my finger
well,
on the button.
Well, anyway, what I'm saying is, I mean, Eddie's call was spot on. We've got a systematic problem, not just a coaching problem. This board of trustees. Now, here's my hope. I hope Hunter Yurecek will go to this board of trustees and say, look, I've got so-and-so, and I've heard this, calling me wanting this job. They're proven. They're not a offensive coordinator from El Paso State or something like that. They're a proven Power 5 coach. We've got to do something here because we're fixing to lose money hand over fist because I'm not going to order my football tickets next year. I've got a good TV and, you know, like Tommy doesn't have in one of those stands, you know, that I can sit in my chair, the bathroom, not very many steps from it. I don't have to give this money to order tickets, drive and spend the whole weekend in Fayetteville and eat in all the fine restaurants. Now, don't get me wrong. I love it, and I will miss it. But I'm going to buck the system if I keep this guy. He committed malpractice, in my opinion. This is my opinion. Telling us KJ Jefferson was not ready. Did you see, guys, how excited he made the crowd that was left and the team? Did you see the team?
Oh, yes.
Jumping around and throwing towels? I mean, it was like they knew. Well, Rakeem Boyd, let me try to quote him. Rakeem Boyd said, we knew he could do it. We knew he could do it all along. You know, but he said everything, but the coach wouldn't put him in. But that's what Rakeem Boyd said. And when he went in there, let me tell you, y'all can laugh at me if you want to. I've been laughed at before, and I'm like Eddie. I don't care. he reminded me a little bit what I got to see of him, of Cam Newton. The way he just, did you see him knock that,
Yeah,
he knocked him in the next week. I tell you, when you sit here and you think, and you settle down, and I feel like I'm settled down this morning, and you think how this kid is on the sideline, just think if maybe he, you know, I don't know if they've got pictures on each other with animals or what.
Oh, Lisa.
Jeez.
But this Ben Hicks thing has got, I mean, he doesn't need to see the field the rest of the year. And Nick Starkle, no wonder Texas A&M didn't want him. And then we get him, and then we have a good quarterback, a true freshman, but I don't care if they're true freshmen. Do y'all?
No.
All right.
Barry Lunny was a true freshman when he started against Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. He sure was. And you know what? I was there. I can point out I was there to a lot of things. Well, things I can't. I was there.
About this point in the season, maybe a week earlier or so, but something along those lines. And let's see, that would have been 19-92, right?
Yep,
They lost.
It was early 90s, but I could go back and look at my stuff back here. But, early 90s. So don't give me this crap about a true freshman can't play, and that's what he tried to do because he'd promised Ben Hicks the moon. Let's just call a spade a spade. And I want to give y'all both credit. And John got it the other night. Y'all aren't like the rest of the media in this state. Y'all don't force your opinions on people, but you tell it like it is, and then people can glean from that their own opinions. And I appreciate that. That's why I listen to y'all, because y'all aren't in line with the group of people that says, you have to go on the air and say this. Well, I'm getting off here, but people, do me a favor. Call the closest board of trustee to you and tell them how you feel. That's the people that Hunter Yurecek will have to get the okay from to chop this, not chop his head off. I don't want him to do that, no. But I want him out of our, I want him out. He's not a Power 5 coach. And heck, he's not an SEC West coach. And I know people, a lot of my friends, not ordering tickets. That's the only way we can get their attention is through the pocketbook. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you as always, Miss Lisa, for your phone call. Man, she's obviously feeling.
Glad she was calmed down, as she said.
Yeah, because I can't imagine what she'd be like if she was fired up or anything like that. How do you get on the board of trustees?
You have to be appointed by the governor, and those are 10-year appointments.
I need to talk to Asa and see if I can get.
On a first name basis, huh?
Yeah, you know me and Asa are boys. Yeah. I want to go there and I want to be like, hey, listen, Mr. Asa, Governor, sir. I would like to be on the board of trustees. Yeah. Who do I need to bribe? How much money do I need?
Bribes are usually the way to do it.
Yeah, how much money do I need to make? What type of suit do I need to wear? I need to figure out, because I'd like to be on the board just to really get information more than anything. Yeah. So, 10-year appointment. Is it like, is everybody different at their 10 years or is it 10 years?
No, they're staggered.
They're staggered. Okay.
So you have some stability on the board. Yeah.
Understandable. But do you think, though, that essentially that's really where the decision is going to lie, more so on anything, is the board of trustees?
Yeah. I mean, look at how it all unfolded the last time. What happened? AD wouldn't do what the board said, so they said, we'll get a new AD.
we'll
get one that will. So, the board has been known to reach down and get involved in athletic department decisions.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I figured that was the case. And so, I mean, I don't know.
It was pretty obvious they did when Bielema was let go.
Yeah. I mean, we all knew that who was behind, the real person behind the curtain for all that situation was definitely the board trustees. But, you know, Lisa brought up the whole KJ Jefferson thing. I know we got some other phone calls. We'll get those in just a second. But here's what Chad Morris had to say about KJ Jefferson's performance after the game. Hold on. There we go.
I don't have any regrets of not playing him earlier in the season. I thought he played well today. I thought he did some. We kept it as simple as possible with him, but I thought he did. I thought he did a really good job. Obviously, he let us down, had a big run, and scored a touchdown. I thought it was, pretty impressive for your first drive.
It just doesn't seem very glowing, and I don't know, because this is so what's weird about what Chad Morris finds himself in, because. Well, he's trying to save face to make sure that everyone knows that it's like he wants to show that he did not screw up and bumble this whole quarterback situation. Because you can't just come out and say, yeah, I should have played him, but I didn't know what I was doing. So, he's not going to come out and say that. But it's just one of those things that where I know it's one drive and it was late in the game and it was against some of the second stringers there from Mississippi State. But for crying out loud, when you see that the second he comes into the game. You're a fan. You can't help but be like, hey, why is this just happening now?
You just said it yourself. I mean, coaches are a little more pragmatic about these kind of things. Really lay it back out. How many plays did we see from KJ Jefferson? How many drives did we see from KJ Jefferson?
Like two, essentially.
Two?
Yeah.
One of them was the first one was, what, four plays?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one, how many was the second one? Three.
I'm having to look it up now, but that sounds about right. Yes.
I think it was against Mississippi State's reserves in a game that was almost 30. It became 30.
Yeah. It was three plays.
So yeah. So seven total plays, right?
Yep.
We're excited because we see there's the hope for the future. I'm with you, but I understand why Chad Morris would be a little more. We want to see him a little more jubilant over the top. It's not like he came in at halftime and led them to four touchdowns and almost won the game. Kid played seven plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they start him this week because I think they need to play him as much as they possibly can over the remaining three games.
Mm.
So don't get me wrong in what I'm saying. I just understand why Chad Morris didn't go over the moon about seven plays.
Yeah, but at least come out and what I wanted to hear from him. And again, I know that we're not expecting to hear much from him in press conference because he doesn't give a whole lot in press conferences. But what I would have liked to have heard is said, yeah, that's what we were hoping that he could provide for us. That's what we're thinking that's the type of play that he can have. And so the rest, we want to look to get him a lot more snaps and a lot more plays coming against Western Kentucky.
But understand, Chad Morris has to answer for the whole thing, not just KJ Jefferson. He has to answer for 54-24. And he's sitting up there getting peppered with questions about why'd you get beat by 30 by one of the worst teams in the league.
Mississippi State set a record for most total yards in a game.
It's just ridiculous.
Most total yards in a game, most rushing yards. Tommy, they rushed for 460 yards.
Is that all?
Kylin Hill and Nick Gibson both averaged a first down a carry. Nick Gibson averaged 10.8 yards a carry. Kylin Hill 11.1. And that's on 21 and 12 on attempts. 234 yards by Kylin Hill. I know that it's a lot about the quarterback, but, John Chavis has a lot to answer for, too. This isn't just an offensive, a quarterback situation, but John Chavis and that performance, that's awful.
It's almost as though they had prepared all week for Garrett Schrader and then got Tommy Stevens. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it's almost as though they were really surprised that Tommy Stevens was the starting quarterback.
I guess. But, I mean, did that make a difference in the rushing attack, though, essentially? I know they do some of RPO, but.
Basically, the running backs just ran it down the throat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you listen to the IMG pregame show, which I listened to all 3 hours of it. I was in the car for a while. And Geno Bell and Rick Shea from the crew basically said, remember the Kentucky game and what Lynn Bowden did and what they were trying to do offensively, it's just going to be more of that. You're going to have to stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
They nailed it. I mean, their analysis was dead on.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what happened. And why weren't you better prepared to stop the run?
I don't. That's the question. And I, you know,
maybe
I know
you can't.
I know we'll hear from John Chavis today around noon when the coaches meet for the press conference, and you'll be able to see the video hitthatline.com in its entirety. But yeah. I'll be curious to see what his answers are.
Yeah. Hey, this time of year is hectic, and with lots of things to do and lots of places to go, Southern Tire Mart can help you get there and save you money on America's most trusted tire brands like Michelin and B.F. Goodrich. You can also take advantage of Southern Tire Mart's $29.95 oil change, which includes a thorough 27-point vehicle inspection. They're at I-540 at exit 14, so stop in and see them there for quality Michelin and B.F. Goodrich tires and the best in-class service. You'll get it all with Michelin, B.F. Goodrich, and Southern Tire Mart.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Nelson is in Harrison. What's going on, Nelson?
Hey, guys. Well, it's another Matic Monday, I guess, but thanks to Mr. Ted Morris and his arrogance, it's like, you know, it's the writing's on the wall. It's right in front of your face. You're sitting here. You start Ben Hicks. Okay, everybody in the state's fine with that. Start him. But at 17 to nothing, and you had the ball 2.5 minutes, it's time to make a change. Is that not right? You see 17 to nothing, you've had the ball two minutes, 40 seconds. You're thinking, man, I need a spark. I got to do something here.
You kind of got one from Boyd. And Boyd scored for you to get to 17-7. That's when you needed the spark, is when you made it 17-7. You needed to stop them and answer again, and then you're in the ball game, and they didn't.
Yeah. But, you know, here we are. I mean, I like Chad Morris, and I thought he could get it done. And you know me, when I like a coach, I'm like, you know, this coach can do it, all that. But this guy just can't get over himself. He can't get over himself. He can't figure out that, you know, he don't make that team go. He's not going to make that team go. Whenever you got a guy that's going into battle and you're battling, and you got two guns over here in your arsenal, and you keep picking up a damn Bowie knife and going into battle, and you're like, this is the best weapon if I can just get close enough to him. You know? But you can't do that. You can't do that. It's just frustrating, and I know how Lisa and Eddie and everybody feels, but the fact of it is we got the players on this team to be a 6-win, 7-win team this year. We just have not got the guy to put him into place. And KJ, he looked great for the 7 plays. That could be fool's gold because, like you said, it's half and half on starters in there. But you know what? Play John Stephen. Play KJ. There's nothing else to lose this year. I mean, play him. Don't put Ben Hicks out there. Ben Hicks is going to go on and do his thing in business or whatever he's going to do. But and if he gets a football, something somewhere, a job in football, coaching, whatever, he's going to do that. Let him do that. Let's start building. And Chad Morris just needs to get over himself. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Nelson. I mean, it's, again, the quarterback situation is one that it's tough for any of us to make sense out of it, you know, because, you know, Ben Hicks running out there, and Tommy even brought up this point before the show started, is that the way that Ben Hicks played, it looked like he was not 100% healthy. He didn't.
I make all my best points before the show
starts. Yeah, before you actually start getting on the air.
Yeah, I mean, the shoulder, I question, Clay Henry's going to join us top of the hour. I wonder if the shoulder's really 100% or back to healthy, because his accuracy in the first half was horrendous with the passing game. I mean, there were some of those third down throws that he didn't even get close.
No.
I mean, nowhere in the catch radius. See, you like that term?
That's catch a new radius. One.
Catch
yeah.
radius, yeah.
Yeah, write that one down.
Makes me sound smart.
Put on
you
a
know,
T-shirt.
Just, and you could see when he came to the sideline, Chad Moore's kind of stalking behind them, and they were, you could see the conversation wasn't pleasant because the pass was nowhere near the mark, you know? So, is that shoulder healthy, or is it just you haven't had enough snaps trying to get that healthy? They've given him rest. Now he comes back in, and he's just not the throwing talent of a Tyler Wilson or a Brandon Allen who can just, you know, just go out and be that accurate throwing because they just have that talent. The accuracy was just really off, and Arkansas didn't convert a third down into what, the third quarter?
No.
It's terrible.
No. It was just terrible all around for sure. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline once again. Alex is in St. Louis. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, guys. How's it going? I just now started listening in, but I saw on Twitter you guys asked the question on is it okay to fire a coach after 2 years? And I think Florida State made the statement yesterday that, yeah, it is, you know. Yeah. I mean,
it is if you can raise $20 million for their buyouts. That's the part that we didn't get in there.
That's true. That's true. But in my opinion, I mean, I think Hunter Yurcich already made the decision. I mean, from just this, what I see, I mean, the photos, I mean, it could have just been him just, you know, just being a relaxed, but he looks like he's under a lot of pressure. And he looks like somebody that's about to make a decision. That's a hard decision. And that's obvious. But it just, to me, after watching that game, it just seems to me that these players don't want to play for Coach Morris. You know, it's almost like it's just they're just out there doing the motions. And say what you want about Bielema. God, I can't even get his name right anymore because it's been 2 years since I've had to say it. But say what you want about Bielema. But, I mean, he had players that fought for him. And, I mean, at the end of it, they still wanted him as a head coach. I think if we let go of Morris, I can't say any player that's going to go on Twitter and be upset. You know, it just seems out there that they're just frustrated and they want something. I mean, when KJ Jefferson came in and scored a touchdown, that's the most excited I've seen this team in a long, since maybe the Texas A&M game. It's just something that I've noticed. It just seems odd. It just seems like the whole Cheyenne O'Grady thing is weird to me. I don't really know what's going on, and he didn't really elaborate on it. But there's rumors. I mean, there's always rumors, but it just seems to me like this team isn't bought in, and I don't think they'll ever be bought in. I'll thank you for taking my call. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Alex. Yeah.
Back to Florida State. They privately raised $20 million to buy out Willie Taggart at 18 and then staff and coaches at a little more, a couple more million. $20 million that was raised by Florida State to do that. Does Arkansas have the wherewithal to go out and privately raise $12 million bucks right now? That's basically what it'd take.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they do. I think they could.
I think they could, but are there big enough donors out there with deep enough pockets, mad enough, emotional enough right now to pledge that kind of money? Because that's what you're talking about doing.
I think a lot of Razorback fans would pledge $20. Maybe start adding up over time.
Take a whole lot of $20 bills.
No doubt about it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Robert and Fort Smith, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, real quick. Was that Nicky Chauvinel that asked him about the coordinator positions on Saturday? Because I got to give her kudos. She just comes straight out and asked, the coordinator's going to have to be changed or fired. And I just didn't know if that was her, if that was a different one, if y'all knew who it was.
No, it was anyway, Nicky Chauvinel. Yes, it was.
I thought it was. So anyway, I just got to give kudos to her. She asked him straight up, and he backed down from it. And I knew he would, but it was good to hear somebody actually call him out on it. So have a good one.
I appreciate it. In fact, here's the clip, actually, of Nicky Chauvinel asking Chad Morse about coaching changes.
Coach, maybe this is a question for Monday, but you talk about holding people accountable, everyone in the building. Do you consider coaching changes after today's game?
I'm not going to answer that today.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's about the response you'd expect out of Chad Morrison.
Specifically about coordinators. But
right, but just coaching changes in general to try to make it up. But Clay, that's a question I know a lot of Razorback fans have been having, though, is this, you know, if it's not going to be Chad Morrison, the change, maybe some coordinators. But we were talking about this actually, but before we get to that, though, we were talking about this during the break, and you brought up a good point of how this process works out when it comes to if they decide to make a change at the coaching position. What's the process? It's not just Hunter Yurcich. He's the main guy, and he's the one that just signs off, and he does it all. There's a lot of moving parts behind the scenes in this whole scenario.
Yeah, I think you have to understand chain of command, and every single person that I've heard discuss this has skipped one of the key points in the chain of command, and everybody fears for their job. Everybody's got somebody that can say you're no longer needed. I mean, it's like, John, you're sitting next to your guy. I mean, when Tommy says, and I don't think
and he
Tommy
better
has
never
to ask
forget
anybody
it. That's
else.
Right.
Yeah, and so you always need to know who it is and who it is asking you to do work, and you know who to perform for, and so it's. You know, the coach works for the athletic director. The athletic director works for John Steinmetz, and it is his job to tell Hunter Yurecek when he wants a change in athletics. And he works for the board of trustees. The system president is the liaison between the board and Steinmetz. So, and I think Steinmetz was the one that was told to fire Jeff Long. And I think Jeff Long was there ready to go talk to the board, and that wasn't what was happening. The board was telling John Steinmetz, you're going to fire him, and then you're going to fire the football coach. And that's because that wasn't what Jeff Long wanted to do. And I think that without question, Hunter Yurecek understands what his job is, and that's to report to the chancellor. And I think that the chancellor will be in tune with what has to happen, and then they'll all look to to the executive director of the Razorback Foundation, which is Scott Verity. And you know, where is the money going to come from? Do we have it? How are we going to, how are we going to pay this out? Is it monthly? What, those are the questions that will be asked. Now, the other part of it, everybody talks about, the salary that you will owe the head football coach, but it's also assistant coaches for 6 months, except in one case, and that is John Chavis, who would be owed $1.5 million. If he was fired at the end of the season, so you owe him another year's salary. So that's the, you're talking about, right at $11 million for the head coach and for the defensive coordinator, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, and see, that's the numbers that I think people are most interested in, because those contracts can be very yeah. convoluted. So if people are wanting to know what needs to happen, how it's going to happen, and when it can happen, that's kind of the setup of what it will go in the process.
Plus,
yeah,
the
and
time,
I mean, you know. It could be that you could negotiate some of that stuff down. I don't know. Yeah. And then I still think they will be owed some money to Brett Bielema. They're not right. paying him currently. And, I'm sitting there watching the game last night, which, by the way, was a great game, mm-hmm. Watching Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady duel and to see the blitz packages. I mean, it was zero coverages almost all night. Neither team played with safeties because they were trying to impact the quarterback play. And I want to see more of that. And, if that's what they're playing in the NFL, which is no safeties behind the middle of the field, because that's the only way you can stop the other offense. Well, when you're giving up 640, well, let's play some zero coverage too. And I know that, that's risky with young players in the secondary, but you can't just let them hand off and run for a first down every time. And that what you said it was, the two running backs averaged a first down, John?
Yes, essentially.
I defer to you, the number man.
Yeah, that's so, me.
Yeah.
Well, Kylan Hill averaged 11.1, and Nick Gibson averaged 10.8 a carry. So I believe
there
10
you go.
Yards would get you a first yeah. down.
And 21 and 12 carries respectively yep. on that, too. So it wasn't yep. like just a couple runs. But, yeah. I mean, That's the question. Also, Clay, just I want to know if you have any more information on this whole Cheyenne O'Grady situation. Chad Morris was very adamant he was not going to get into it. I know Bob Holt pushed him a little bit in the press conference afterwards because he didn't play. He was suspended. They said that they'll get back to it. Maybe we'll find out more with the press conference today at noon with Chad Morris. But do you know any more on this story? Any other thing of what's going on here?
I mean, for what I was told, didn't show for a meeting or was late for a meeting or something last week. And that's been an ongoing thing with him. And I don't mean this season. I mean, that's his past. I mean, how long do you let it keep going on? I mean, he's been suspended how many times? And, he was talked about in August and we went through all that. So, you've got to do the things that the team is asked to be done. I suspect that we'll hear he's been reinstated and he'll play the last three games. You know, there was some doubt about that, but that's my feeling. What's going to happen is that he's going to he'll want to play, and I hope they let him. So
he needs to play for his future. He's trying to get to the NFL. You can't get to the NFL as a drafted player and miss the last month of your season. There's a lot of questions you'd have to answer to a lot of people, from general managers to coaches, scouts, and so forth. If that's the way it played out, that's not a good path for CJ.
No, it's not. And he plays for his position coach. I have the most respect for Barry Lunny, and Barry has mentored him, tried to guide him, explained, what'll happen. And, he understands what you just said incredibly well. He knows that all of this stuff is important, but yet it still keeps happening. And that's tough. And it is so much money at stake, just like everything. I mean, and everything that we're talking about today is big business. It's not just game. It's not sport. It is big business. Mm-hmm. And Cheyenne is it's money that's going right down the tubes. Yep. And it's the same thing when I see empty seats, at Razorback games and all this. It's money that's just been – it's just so sad. And for Cheyenne, there's been two different head coaches counseling him. I would imagine Turner Gill has sat with him multiple times, and he that's an incredible resource to, be coached on personal values and how you handle your business and what's at stake, and yet it still happens, and that's the tough part.
It's Monday Morning Quarterback here on the Morning Rush. We're brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma. Take advantage of RV show pricing on hundreds of new models. Deer Hunter specials under $10,000 and wholesale to the public pricing on dozens of pre-owned RVs as well. Also, check out the all-new 2020s. They're arriving daily, and the 2019 models are priced and ready to go. Get all the details at Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13 off of I-40. It's where your family's dreams come true.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. JR is in Marshall. What's going on, JR?
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Been fine. One thing I find really puzzling in this whole situation, back during last year, I guess, and even this spring and season, they talked about last year, I think 30% of the offense, and correct me if I'm wrong, 30% of the offense was being presented to the quarterback. Is that correct? Last year, is that how that went down?
No, I don't think that's what – I think he said that that's what they were able to retain, that they, at that point. And they were getting more than that, but they would carry 30% in the games. And that's pretty much standard by any team. You look at what the other team does, and that's the thing that everybody struggled with. It's like, why just 30%? Well, that's the way all teams do it. I mean, every coach that I've ever been around, you study what the other team does defensively, and then you take your portion of the offense that fits best against that, and it might only be 30% of the offense. So it's that's a game by game. It might be a different 30% the next week, but you don't practice, all of your plays during a game week. You just take in what you can. And the other part is that you study what your players do well, and then you structure to that.
So a lot of people I read on social media were offended is the right word, but, Morris made the comment in his press conference that he kept it simple for KJ. And a lot of people took issue with that. So, keeping it simple, I mean, that's a legitimate statement for a head coach. But at this point of the game, with everybody being upset with how – his play calling has been situated in the games, and waiting until it's 38-10 to change, make a change of quarterback, I guess anything's going to set anybody off. But, for KJ to come in, that was second string defense?
No, I mean, it was a mixture. I mean, the guy you ran over at the goal line, Errol Thompson, number 40, is their leading tackler. So they were sprinkled in, starters. There were some backups, but I wouldn't say that was second team defense. I mean, the all three first-string linebackers were on the field for that drive.
Oh, really? Okay. I was under the impression it was second-string.
Nope. I went back and charted it and wrote it down, and it, you know, 40 was the guy that he hit at the 2-yard line and blasted into the end zone. That's Errol Thompson, who's there, was the leading tackler in the game, leading tackler on the season.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Clay. Do you think that KJ gets to start Saturday against Western Kentucky?
If I was the coach, that's who I'd put out there. I mean, whether it be John Stephen Jones for a series and KJ for a series, I mean, I think both of them have done well in their limited time. I mean, John Stephen threw a touchdown pass, and that was a great throw.
Yeah,
I mean, it was the only way you could get it in there. And to say keeping it simple, that's the same thing he said. You know, Alabama said we had a limited package for John Stephen. And I think that's what you do with young quarterbacks. And that's the same thing they did with Barry Lunny when they put him in. Don't give him too much. And you want him to play aggressive. And so you give him a few plays and you teach him how to, you know, check from one side, you know, to the other if you see the defense overloaded. And I think everybody is just going through and it's like, okay, we're tired of this coach, and we're going to nitpick everything he says, and I get it. And that's, you know, that's fair.
And it seems like – let me say this real quick. It seems like at this point of the game that the players have let go of the rope. I mean
– They didn't play hard in that game, in my opinion.
They didn't play hard in that game at all, and I'm afraid that's what's going to happen Saturday. And, I'm not trying to make a prediction or anything like that, but if Western Kentucky comes in here and walks out of here with a win, you know, There could be a situation like Jack Crow where, you know, the hammer's put down. I mean, we're just at that point right now, and that's my opinion. You guys have a good day. Thank you.
Yeah, well, appreciate the phone call as always, JR. I think that's because some people have been texting into our Cherokee Casino hotline asking about the Willie Taggart situation because he was let go from Florida State just yesterday, and he didn't even finish out two full seasons. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have been wondering, okay, does that have any impact on the decision by Arkansas? Did they decide to make a move because, hey, they made a move, so we need to make a move? I don't know if that's anything like that, but it certainly shows you, though, that certain programs, and what we've heard, you can't fire a coach after 2 years. Well, Florida State raised the money with private donations to get Willie Taggart out of there.
$20 million worth for Taggart's 18 and the staff's two.
And they did it before he even finished out his second season. So, you know, there's an element to that to where I think that if a program like Florida State, they feel comfortable and confident enough, we'll see where they go with it. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Arkansas at this point will make a change at the season's end after two seasons.
Clay said it right. It's going to be somewhere in the $11 to $12 million range for this staff. You still owe Bielema whatever they end up negotiating or settling on, but probably in the $5 million range. So, you know, this is somewhere, you know, that their contingent liability is – 16, 17, maybe $18 million as a university. And you just can't emotionally
Here's what you're doing. Here's what you're doing. It's like, you know, it's like how much is it going to cost you not to do that?
Those are the
numbers. How many seats? What are the donors? What's, you know, it's like no longer do you get an IRS write-off for a donation. And I know that hasn't eliminated all the donations, but it's changed the way some companies operate. And so you have to look in your coffers. You know, are there people that are willing to step up and give them the money to do that? And, you know, and that's a tough ask. And it's like, no, you guys do that on your own. Y'all are the ones that got us in this mess. And, you know, it's a double-edged sword, but it is a huge business, and that's what they have to look at. It is, you know, you can say it's sport. It's business, in my opinion.
What's more expensive, keeping him or letting him go?
Correct.
That's the question at the end of the day.
Well, because I know that you guys have been asked this question probably as much as I have, just about what, you know, is Arkansas going to do? Is there going to make a changes at the end of the season?
Who are you going to get?
You know, and I hear people say, well, that you know, firing him impacts the ability to hire the next coach if you didn't get him 2 years. The only thing the coach wants to know is what's his buyout. Now, if you fire a coach after 2 years, that guarantees that your next buyout's going to be up there. There's not going to be any coach that comes to Arkansas without an incredible buyout. I mean, two things have happened. One, you know, you've fired two coaches in 2 years, less than 2 years, and you know, and one coach you're not paying. I mean, it's like you think the agents around the country know that you're not paying Bielema? Now, I understand it from the Arkansas perspective that he hasn't been up and up in how he's filed his paperwork on what, you know, on what he's getting paid at, mm-hmm. at New England. Or if he has, New England's not paying him, you know, the right amount. And I've got an opinion on that. New England should be accountable for that, in that I wouldn't let a New England scout on my campus. I mean, if they're going to do that and it impacts your bottom line like that, then I wouldn't let, and I would tell, if I was Hunter Yurcich, I'd tell every athletic director in the SEC, you guys, this is what they've done to us. Do you want to let their scouts on campus? And if, and the SEC ought to look at that. That's a business decision, just like anything else. But hey, maybe that doesn't fly. But that's those are the things that are out there, and you're dealing with agents. It's not just coaches. In fact, you very seldom get to talk to the coach until the very end. It's all done with agents, and those agents know what the numbers are.
Yeah, because
and then they ratchet them up.
Yeah, it's always adjusting there. But I think? Yeah. Well, I've been asked just about, you know, when it comes to the financial situation and firing coaches, you just can't fire a coach after 2 years. You can't do it. But, you know, the things that you guys brought up as far as, you know, the affordability and the financial thing is, you know, one of the things I keep bringing up.
You can do it. Well, yeah. You can do it. You just have to pay a high buyout for the next guy.
Correct. And another thing that I throw into it is just, you know, season tickets without a question. I mean, even Hunter Yurcich came on this show before the season started and talked about how it was a struggle this year. Now, I know part of that is the lackluster home schedule itself.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah, it was a bad deal. But next year, you do actually have a pretty good mm-hmm. SEC home schedule, at least, because you got Bama, LSU, Ole Miss, and Tennessee, I believe, are your two Fayetteville
first
games.
First time you've got four SEC games in Fayetteville.
And then, of course, your non-conference, you go on the road to Notre Dame. But it's a pretty solid schedule. But I just don't – you think about if they keep Chad Morris for another year, and this is what they have to weigh – I mean, how much is that going to end up costing them? And people that if it was already bad this year, next year, well, people may even scale back even more, and then you lose even more money to it.
But you get a coach in here that excites the fan base.
That's right.
That has a vision. I think if you make a decision to make a change, you cannot offensively go in a 180 degree different direction offensively. You cannot have another two or three period of rebuilding the roster. You've got to have a coach that sees what Chad Morris has done through recruiting and can figure out how to way to fold that into his philosophy. Yep. Because if you change philosophies in such a manner that the roster has to be rebuilt again, Lord help all
Tommy,
of us.
Tommy, I think if I look out there and I see what's being done in college football, I really don't think that's an issue.
I don't either. But
because I don't see anybody that's not playing with a spread. I mean,
I agree with you, but I think if you can look around
in the NFL, yeah, the offensive coordinators have all got, you know, the spread sprinkled in. So I think that the coach that comes here will probably be someone that runs the same offenses that KJ Jefferson and John Stephen Jones have run, you know, their whole lives. And I think that is not going to be an issue. I do not think that they will. There's just not that many pro-style offensive coaches that are out there in college right now. I mean, who's out there?
The decision makers know that, Clay. I think we know that.
Yeah, but I mean, who's out there? There's not anybody. I don't know. It would stun me if you could even find one.
Well, we got people calling every day for Houston Nutt to come back, and he's not a spread guy. And people call this radio station.
That's not true. That is not true, Tommy. If you've heard him in the last 7 years, he has begged for somebody to hire him and said, I will run the spread.
Okay.
He says it every time.
If somebody will pay me to do it.
Yeah.
All right.
He said he'd run Gus's offense. Now, I've heard him say it.
All right. Now you're making things up. Now,
no, I'm not.
You're making that up.
I'm not.
I don't believe you. I need to hear it on tape myself. He didn't say he'd run Gus's offense. You went a bridge too far there.
I went a bridge too far.
Yeah. But I agree.
Okay, I can't find that tape. I can't find that tape.
I agree with your point.
I can't find it.
I agree with your point, but I need to make sure.
He said he would run the principles of Gus's offense. How's that?
Okay. But the people that's, making the decision have to bridge. Understand how important that is. And I agree, there's not very many of them out there, but they have to understand that. And I think Hunter Hurecek will, but you got a lot of people that are on a board that may not understand.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
All right, Matty T, go ahead and give the people the Morning Rush update.
Here's your Morning Rush update. The Razorback football team has opened up as a 2.5-point favorite against Western Kentucky this Saturday in Razorback Stadium. Unfortunately, there's no funny twist to that headline. The headline is a joke in itself.
Yes, because it is true.
I was thinking, John, you want to head over to the Cherokee Casino and put some money on it?
I try to stay away from games like this. Mm. I never bet on the team that I root for. It's kind of a rule of thumb. Oh, okay. So, yeah, I'll avoid this one. I think most people should avoid this one.
Bet against them, and that way, if they win, it's the happy head.
Yeah, right? You win twice, no matter what. So,
Chad Morris will be meeting with the media today at noon, in which he'll address the status of Cheyenne O'Grady after he missed Saturday's game. He's definitely one of Arkansas's best players, but honestly, at this point, if he shows up, will it really make a difference?
I don't know at this point if it does or not, but...
I don't think you can win without him.
Yeah, I don't think you can, but I don't think it would have made a difference on Saturday for sure against Mississippi State, no doubt.
Willie Taggart has been officially fired from Florida State before he could even finish his second full season as head coach with a record of 9-12. It's sad to see, but he'll be getting close to $20 million in buyout money. Imagine if any other job allowed that type of severance.
I would never be unhappy, and I would never feel as much pressure if I knew that I was going to get paid $20 million. Not to say I wouldn't have pressure, stresses, but just be a little nicer.
There's a reason they give them those buyouts, because there is that kind of pressure, and it generates that kind of income.
Yeah. Now, so. I understand it. It just would be nice for a change. That's all I'm saying.
Be sure to head to hitthatline.com for all the fantastic Morning Rush content and great Razorback coverage with articles, videos, podcasts, and more. All the crap we just leave on the floor, but the good stuff is available at hitthatline.com.
All right, thank you, Matty T. That's your Morning Rush update. I have a few people calling in on the Cherokee Casino hotline. And text line 877-377-6963.
That update brought to you by Joe's Grill and Cantina, where you can watch the Hogs, including basketball, which begins
tomorrow
night as the Eric Musselman era officially gets underway. Half-price apps and taps during every Arkansas game. TVs all around the restaurant. And you can have things like brisket nachos, Mexican pizza. They get a great sampler platter. And all beers on tap are half-price during every game as well. Joe's Grill and Cantina, 3400 South 74th Street across from Harps.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Gary is in Fort Smith. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, guys. I was trying to think back in an SEC conference game. When is the last time Arkansas has been the more physical team on the field, regardless of whether we won or lost the game? I can't remember that time.
Hmm. And I would say maybe the only.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the third year of Bielema in
Shutouts
of LSU and Ole Miss. I mean, I felt like they were the more physical team in those games.
And that's my point. I mean, we haven't been physical in 3 years or 4 years.
Oh, we've been talking about that for a long time.
And I understand, because our depth is so thin, you can't be physical enough in practice because you're afraid you're going to get your frontline guys hurt. But, man, it's so frustrating to watch a game and just be out physical every game. And
it's hard to win a game when you're out physical every game, Gary.
Especially in the SEC.
That's the difference between, these teams that, that have recruited well for 4 or 5 years, and that they are able to have juniors and seniors, and they're practicing against talented teams. Their second team and third team have the kind of talent that you have on your first string, and you're able to practice. I mean, there is no doubt the secret of Nick Saban is the depth that they have in their ability to scrimmage every day in August without fear of, if you lose three outside linebackers, which they did last year in practice, that they were able to just plug in another guy or move somebody from another position. And, you know, they weren't as good at that position, but their team was so much better because of their ability to scrimmage every day.
Do you feel like an unintended consequence of the early signing period is that the Has have such a superior advantage over the have-nots because the have-nots are making coaching changes or they're contemplating things like that? And so all the great players are gone by the time you get a new coaching staff in here. So essentially the first-year recruitment is almost null and void unless you hit the jackpot in the transfer portal. It just seems like that.
Yeah,
that puts
I think maybe that might be happening a little bit, but his teams were really good at LSU, and there was no early signing period then. And it's not like they just got good at Alabama in the last 3 years. His recruiting classes have consistently been 1, 2, 3, 4, and if they have a bad year, it's 4. If they have a good year, it's 1. And they have played 20 freshmen at this point this year, and they say that this is one of their best classes. And it doesn't really change from 1 year to the next. And his ability to focus in on recruiting as the head coach and make that a priority, and his evaluations and you say, well, he's getting 4 and 5 stars. Well, he's picking them early on, so his evaluations are on target before the ratings even come out.
Well, it just seems like if we're going to make a coaching change, we're going to lose the early signing period again, because by the time you hire the correct guy, get the staff in, you're only going to get the recruits that the previous staff had in place. And so you've lost a recruitment season already. And that just seems to put us behind the eight ball over and over again.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the phone call, Gary. But the thing is that you're going to have to face that no matter what. At any point in time, you're going to have to face it to where you might have a coaching change and you're going to get put behind the eight ball. It's just a matter of what that coach can try to muster and put together. So you're always going to have that issue, unfortunately. Let's go back to the phone lines. Philip is in Bentonville. What's going on, Philip?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I've got a two-part question. And the first part is with everything happened with Florida State this weekend and how they, y'all had made the comment that there was behind the scenes raising money with some majors boosters. Do you believe coming in this morning that maybe either that will start doing possibility or has been behind the scenes, maybe getting some money, figuring out what the buyout is for Morris and the staff?
I mean, I don't know exactly. I don't think any of us would have that information. I am sure, though, that Hunter Yurecek and everybody involved, if they have decided that they're going to make a change or they're looking to make a change, I'm sure that there's been some stuff going behind the scenes of trying to figure out how exactly they're going to be able to pull it off. Because I know it's more fun to think about in a lot of cases of, hey, Jerry Jones, strat check. Strat check, Jerry, you got it. It's easy to think that, but there's a lot of other moving parts that go into this whole situation. So I believe that if they are going to make a change, or that's what they've decided to do, that they have obviously been going about it behind the scenes and trying to figure out the best way of going about it. Yes.
Well, the question is this: y'all are talking about, the next coach, you got to come in, you've got to bring in someone that's kind of run Morris's style. And here's the question, and I'm going to probably dig up some bad feelings is it's about Gus Malzahn. Would you go to possibly a Gus Malzahn protege that's sitting right now at SMU that's running in Lashley? Do you possibly take a look at him? Either one, if you're going to keep Morris, do you look at him possibly bringing him in as OC, or if they get away, do you look at him maybe as a head coach?
I would not think so, no, because, you essentially do have a protege, in a way, of sorts, of Chad Morris right now.
Yeah, that's what you got now.
Yeah, because he's...
Or Gus Malzahn.
Well, of Gus Malzahn, yes, excuse me. But, essentially that's what you have. So I don't know if that's the exact route that they will go or want to go. And that's nothing against Rhett Lashley or anything, but I'm sure that they'll want to go and they'll want to try to find somebody that can be at least established as a head coach as much as possible. I don't know if you want to take a risk or at this point where we want to bring in Rhett Lashley as a head coach or anything like that.
That's not happening.
Yeah, so, but appreciate the phone call, Philip. But, yeah, I just don't see in any way, shape, or form that ends up happening. We get a bunch of phone calls, and let's keep it going. James is in Russellville. What's going on, James?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. So I just have a question. I see this every single week. We're going in fixing to start K.J. Jefferson. Hopefully, maybe, maybe not. We should. But can we get a center on this roster that can get the snap up? It's every single week our snap is just thrown up in the air, and it just throws off our RPOs. K.J. Jefferson, how is he supposed to run an effective RPO when he can't get the snap on time and throws up all of our timing? It's been like this all year. How can we not figure out how to get the snap up? That's my only thing, guys.
Well, appreciate the phone call, James. That's something that I know that we have been trying to figure out for a while now. And, you know, sometimes people said, well, certain snaps are supposed to look kind of like that way. But there is no doubt that there's been times throughout this season that they have just been unable to connect in the most basic form. But I don't want to throw a complete and total blame on Ty Cleary because I know he's been the center for the majority of the season. But another factor is into it is that when you keep changing quarterbacks, when you keep changing it up and all of that, it's you're going to see some of the impacts from having bad snaps. I think that you can't find any sort of chemistry or any sort of established ability to be able to get the ball back effectively when you're continuing to switch up quarterbacks. But again, that's not an excuse. I'm just trying to throw it out that that might be something that factors into the whole situation. But it's definitely been frustrating. I can understand. Let's keep it going on the phone lines. Robert is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Robert?
Good morning, guys. I'm going to make a point. I'm trying to make it real quick, get out of the way. Gentleman just before me called in and was talking about the buyout and all that kind of stuff, about the head coaching situation with the money and all that. How do you – okay, so we had an athletic director. We got the chancellor aligned the board of trustees and everything to get rid of that athletic director. And now you're – and that athletic director alienated the fan base, alienated the people that sit between the 30s, and he alienated the donors. And it was all in – if you remember right, Clay, back me up on this if you remember this. It was all under the guise of, we got to get rid of the good old boy system. We got to get rid of the good old boy system. Well, now here we are, and do you really have the clout to go back to those people and say, hey, we need your help? And if you're one of those donors, why do you help them? You get my point there? Hello?
Yes, we don't have
him. It doesn't. That's kind of lost on me.
I mean, think about that. You got rid of all of these people because they were part of the good old boy system. So let's get rid of Frank and all of his people.
You didn't. They didn't go away.
This program. Well, I understand.
No, I don't think they went away.
Now you got to go to these same people and ask them for help.
Well, here's the thing, Robert. I remember when that was a factor, at least, especially during the
not here asking for help. It would be different. Yeah, it'd be different if Jeff Long was the one asking. I don't think that's what Hunter has worked the last year and a half to rebuild, and I think he's done a nice job of that. From what people tell me, I don't think people stop being supporters and Razorback fans. And Jeff Long's gone. That's the good news.
Yeah, and I think that during that time too, especially because it was a mess from what your time you're referring to, and I think that it's also one of those things that just like so many different factors with Razorback football, you never really know what you have until it's gone. You never really know what you want until you don't have it anymore. And there's been a complete and staunch difference in the translation and the transition than what you had from Frank Broyles to Jeff Long, and now there's a lot of people trying to counteract that and saying just get Arkansas people in there, and it's not as simple as that. But there's definitely been having to be a rebuild type of situation in the athletic department from what Jeff Long left behind to try to get a lot of those fans and a lot of those boosters and people that you say it was alienated, Robert, try to get them back into the fold and feel like they're a part of the program once again.
And I think one angle Robert is coming from, because he's made this point before, and I heard him make it Saturday night on the postgame show, is you don't have the administrators and the people that help guide the athletic department that truly get it and are truly understanding of what it means to be a Razorback. Jeff Long came in and removed a lot of the people like the Harold Hortons and the Chuck Dykuses and, you know, people like Bill Gray that were there for years, and Jesse, people that played for Broyles, people that understood what it meant to be a Razorback, aren't filling a lot of those top positions in the athletic department anymore. And
yeah, well, I think that if you look at the foundation, that's not true, because I think Scott Verity and Dean Weber and Norm DeBrine, you know, those are the key people over there, that in Marvin Kasten. I think those are Razorbacks. And
I agree.
And when you go through the athletic department, I think Kevin Traynor is in a significant position now. I think he's been leaned on more by Hunter Yurecek than say Jeff Long did. You look around and you know, John Fagg has been here a long time, and he chose to stay here and not leave and go somewhere else. I'd look at him and say that he's got some Razorback in him now, and is loyal to the program and to the state. So I don't buy that. In fact, the minute Jeff Long left, I think all those people, they're like, we want to stay here. We've got the buy-in, and I feel that when I'm around them. So, I know that, you know, maybe there's people out in the state that don't think things have changed, but I believe that's really the gist of what Hunter Yurecek has tried to do. And I think he's done a nice job of that. And, you know, now the pressure is on for him to get the product on the field in football. And I think Eric Musselman's done a good job with what he's done in trying to learn the tradition and the red white game to me was marvelous. And that's not just Musselman. That's the athletic director saying, yeah, we'll make it work. We'll go to Barnhill and get this done. And, you know, that was nice. And Jeff Long was not going to name the court after Nolan Richardson, and that's another thing that's been done. So when I say that I feel Razorback in this administration, that I have to be honest and say that I do.
Morning Rush brought to you in part by the Paint Store in Van Buren. They can help you with all those room makeovers. That would be a great holiday gift if you've never thought about what do I get that hard to shop for somebody. How about a package for a kitchen, bathroom, or living room? Well, they can customize a perfect package for you at the paint store. Gift certificates can be customized as well. So give your wife, a family member, or a great friend a super surprise with a gift of a room makeover this year. They can also help you with recommendations for great, reliable contractors to do the work as well. It's all at the paint store in Van Buren, always the place to go. See them at 1414 Fayetteville Road for your room makeover gift certificate.
You know, and to continue on with the point that Robert was making and what you talked about, Clay, too, I think it's just, you know, like, for instance, I know from personal experience that my dad, who's been the Broyles Matthews donor for quite some time, he felt like that in the transition from the Broyles to the Long administration, that it just didn't feel like you were appreciated as much, just to be honest about it. And there was a lot of people that felt that way, and then you felt like you weren't a part of the program anymore, and a lot of people lost their fire and their passion in that regard. And so it's just a kind of a mad mess of how people have felt and where people are at right now. They just felt like there was such a disconnect for so long. And I feel like some of the names you brought up, too, of guys that are Razorbacks and put the Razorbacks above all else is what you need more of. You need a lot more guys than that, because I know that they're all there and they're all trying. But, yeah, you definitely need to have more of those Kevin Trainers out there for sure.
Yeah, and well, Kyle Parkinson, who's the new communication director, is a University of Arkansas grad.
That's
grew
right.
up in Arkansas. I mean, he's a Marion County boy, and I think you'd have to, you'd have to point to him and say there's a hire with U of A ties and has SEC background, Vanderbilt. I'm not going to go there with Robert. I'm over there more and have that feel than he does. Now, he's in business and runs a Razorback related business, but I don't feel the way he does.
Yeah, which I understand it. I mean, again, everyone's got their own opinion on that. But if you want to get on the if you want to get on the conversation, folks, be sure to call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. We've had a ton of phone calls and a ton of text messages. Try to squeeze in one more quick phone call before we take a break. John is in Little Rock. What's going on, John?
Not much. I think we're at the point where you don't have to have had to play football, or you don't have to have the experience to see that Morris doesn't know what he's doing. I guess with starting Hicks, there was that we still are bowl eligible kind of thought, but in all honesty, we weren't. And I think we're going to lose to Western Kentucky this week. I think Musselman could go in and do a better job right now, and I'm only halfway kidding in motivating those players and getting them to go do what they need to do. I'm confident in Hunter. I think he's made some good moves. This is a tough one for him for sure. I mean, if you lose to Western Kentucky, well, what do you do? My thought is right now is that Morris is going to be back come hell or high water with a lot of stipulations, and we'll see. But I feel like we're going to lose out. And so I'm going to have to put all faith in Hunter right now. But, you know, Morris is just the type of person that we could get like a five-star safety come in, and he's going to announce that Hicks is starting at safety. I just don't understand it, right? It's just stop sticking with what you know is going to fail, and just for the love of God, give the fans some hope. But I'm over it, have been for a while, so we'll see what happens the rest of the season here.
Yeah, well, appreciate the phone call, John. You know, that's one thing that I will say about when Hunter Yurcheck and the decision that they're going to have to make. There's no reason for me to believe that Hunter Yurcheck isn't capable of doing it all. I think he did a great job with the Musselman hire and the handling of all that. So, you know, if they decide to make the decision, though, I feel comfortable and confident in that Hunter Yurcheck will be the guy.
It didn't really sound like John was over it, though. It sounds like, I mean, generally the people that call into our show are not people that are over it. And,
well, I hope
you
not.
Know, I give him credit for speaking his mind, but I think he definitely still has the passion.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, he may be over that he thinks Morris can get it done, but he's not over being a Razorback.
Yeah. Well, you never want to see that. That's for sure.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.